This is Glorious Food at KPTZ 91.9 in Port Townsend, Washington, your show about all things food on the beautiful, green, verdant Olympic Peninsula. I'm your host, Mara Lathrop. Today we'll be talking with Denise Joy of Mountain Spirit Herbals here in Port Townsend, and later on, we'll take a walking tour of the Port Townsend Saturday Farmers Market. It's going to be our biggest, best farm report ever.
Just picture a great big steak, fried, roasted, or stewed, her food, wonderful food, marvelous food, glorious food.
But first, I have a terrible admission. Until recently, I had never made tzimmis.
I made like a tzimmis with a lumpy gravy build.
Tzimmis is a side dish that is traditional holiday fare during the Jewish high holidays that happen in the autumn. Never having made tzimmis was suddenly a problem because, for the first time in a long time, I was feeding friends before Kol Nidre services, the start of the Yom Kippur fast. My grandma and then my mother after her always served tzimmis, and it would not be this meal without it. So, tzimmis. A dish for the new year, sweet so the year would be sweet. Carrots cut into coins for money, meat to sustain our bodies, spices to delight our souls. At least that's how my grandmother always described it. And then my mother once told me that of all the Jewish cookbooks in her collection, the recipes that were the most like the way we cooked in our family and tasted the most like the way she remembered things tasting when she was a little girl were in Raymond Sokolov's The Jewish American Kitchen. And her copy of the book now sits on my cookbook shelf and contains many ancient post-its with handwritten notes and recipe adjustments in my mother's perfect schoolgirl script. Although, Mom, what were you thinking? There is no post-it beside the tzimmis recipe. Sokolov, I remember her saying, definitely Russian. His people must have come from the same general vicinity as Grandma and Auntie Warren. But how do you make something blind when you've never made it before? Well, I remembered a little bit. I remembered sitting at my grandparents' dining room table in my good dress with a napkin tied around my neck, holding out my plate, asking my grandfather to spoon me up another prune and another piece of meat. I remember the flavor of cinnamon and that there was something else, something that tasted warm, although I couldn't remember what it was. And as I opened the Jewish American Kitchen to the tzimmis recipe, I mentally placed myself at my mother's dining room table as an adult, albeit young woman, who was already a pretty good cook. And I made myself look down at the helping of tzimmis on one of my mother's holiday creamy Lennox plates with the gold edges. And I willed myself to see and smell what had really been there. And I hoped with all my heart that Sokolov's family came from a shtetl very, very nearby. The ingredients list started with flanken, that's chuck steak with the bones still attached, and I thought, yes, cut up into little one-inch pieces, meat to sustain our bodies, salted and peppered and browned in an oven-proof pan. Chopped up onions came next, wilted in the drippings, followed by prunes and raisins and dried apricots. I gleaned what else I could from the ingredient list, lemon and lemon peel, cinnamon and ginger, spices to delight our souls. And there it was, ginger. That was the something warm that I couldn't remember. I was certain of it. My grandma loved ginger. She used gobs of it whenever she made teklach and put at least a pinch of it into almost everything else, even her meatloaf. Maybe Sokolov's shtetl wasn't so very far away after all. The instructions for how to put the tzimmis together sounded exactly like something my grandma would do. Brown the meat, brown the onion, cook it for an hour, add the dried fruit, the carrots, and everything else, give it a good stir, and cook it covered in a low oven for a long time. Oy. Sometimes all you can do is begin. It wasn't a difficult or challenging recipe, just some browning and chopping and mixing and baking. I used fresh ginger instead of the dry ginger that Sokolov called for because my grandma always had a piece of fresh ginger in the little basket on her kitchen counter, the one that always also had a jar of dried bay leaves in it. And then when I added the ginger to the pot, I threw in a couple of bay leaves too, because there was just something about it that was entirely familiar, that I somehow knew was right. I felt my grandma smile in my direction. I knew my mother was nodding in agreement. And then, once the pot was covered and placed in the oven, there was nothing to do but wait. 2 hours later, I walked back into the kitchen. I opened the oven door, and I am suddenly 3 years old, sitting on my grandmother's kitchen floor, playing with my grandma's dented old stew pot, the cheap tin one that she and grandpa bought the day before their wedding, or so the story goes, when they were picking up a few things they needed to start their new life together. I have a spoon, too, and I am clanging the spoon and the lid against the pot for all I'm worth. It is a wonderful, loud racket because I am happy. My mommy and my grandma are bustling on the other side of the kitchen, cooking the dinner that we will eat later on with everybody else. Get the simmas out of the oven, my grandmother says, and as my mother opens the oven door, I am surrounded by the rich and soulful smell of meat and carrots and prunes and cinnamon and something else, something I don't know what, but it is as warm and as familiar as my grandmother's arms. So how was it, the simmas? It was good. It was delicious. Was it the simmas that my mother made that my grandmother made before her? To tell you the truth, when I tasted it, I couldn't really say. I wasn't really sure. But it was close, I like to think. It was close. I bet I've mentioned the Portensan Farmers Market at least once in every episode of Glorious Food. And why not? It is Portensan's own weekly festival, a place where friends and neighbors meet and greet and shop and eat and enjoy this amazing place where we live. Recently, I took the grand tour on a busy Saturday, so come on along. Let's go to the market.
Swami John Pickle, and I'm here at the market. Can you hear the wind is playing my kora? It's a homemade kora, which is a West African harp, and if you listen carefully, you can hear the wind.
So that's the sound of the wind.
One of the things I like best about the Port Townsend Saturday Uptown Market is that there is always music.
We just want to have your name so we can credit you.
Yeah, this is Brandon Smith.
Brandon Smith?
Uh-huh.
Alejandro, and I come from Spain. I was born in Madrid, and this is our company. It's called Paella House, and we make authentic paella from Spain, from family recipes that we've learned in the past.
How did you get started here at the market?
We were doing paellas left and right for friends and family, and people started saying, hey, you should do this at the market. You'd probably get a good response, and we got it started, and here we are.
How much paella do you make on a Saturday here at the market?
It's really hard to hit the spot because it's different every time, but I tend to make enough for at least 50 servings.
Hi, we're Ranger and the Rear Rangers from Kitsap County.
Am
my name is Susan Audie, and I serve Nuremberg bratwurst sandwiches. These brats are made here in Washington by a local butcher who grew up in Nuremberg and came to the States right after World War II. And we serve our sandwiches with grilled onions, warm sauerkraut or red sweet kraut, and German mustard besides.
In addition to serving your brats on sandwiches, you serve the famous German pancake with a brat inside and syrup. How did you invent this?
Well, to be honest, I knew I needed to cover breakfast. I just thought, well, why not do a German pancake? And some people like it sweet with the blueberries, whipped cream and syrup, and sometimes they want it savory.
All this year, right in the center of the market, is Nash's great big red vegetable and fruit wagon. Hi, what's your name?
Sanja.
And what do you like about coming over here to the Port Townsend Farmers Market?
Port Townsend's gorgeous. It's a beautiful day today. The market's awesome, very eclectic. There's lots of stuff here. Chai, there's barbecue across the way today, which is rad. It's all here.
I'm standing up at the corner right at Red Dog Farm's booth, and I'm with Devin, who is the Red Dog Farm market manager. Devin, what are you guys really featuring today?
Well, the Brussels sprouts would be the thing that we're featuring today.
And you have them still attached to the stock, so what does one do with a Brussels sprout tree?
You store them on the tree, and then you take them off the tree when you plan on cooking them. You can roast them, you can throw them on the grill, you can throw them in a stir fry. Brussels sprouts are really awesome, and you can do tons of stuff with them.
And as we head into the later part of the fall, what's still going to be fresh and good to buy at the market?
Well, we're going to be getting more into roots, so there's going to be tons of stuff to get. So potatoes, parsnips, watermelon radishes, rutabaga, fennel. We're going to be getting purple top turnips. There's tons of stuff.
I see that you have some radishes over by your cash box. So those are French radishes, breakfast radishes, or what are those?
We actually have four varieties of radishes by our cash box. The one that you are looking at are French breakfast radishes.
Yeah. Do I get to have one since they're samples?
Totally.
All right. Crunchy. So now we're at Willow Wind, and we're talking to one of the owners, Zach. And Zach, you've got vegetables and cut flowers and plants. I want to start by asking you about all of these gorgeous peppers that you have here. Which ones are hot? Which are good for roasting? Which are good for frying?
They're all great for roasting and frying. I have two varieties of Hungarian, which is a Lichgauer and a Hungarian hot wax. The Lichgauer is an heirloom from the late 1800s. They're great citrusy red flavor with pretty fair spice. And the Hungarian hot wax is a little bit less on the spice, a little bit more robust.
And what are these little yellow puppies over in the corner here?
I have two different cayennes, a red and a yellow. And they're pretty medium spice also. Great for drying. And my favorite for roasting is actually the poblano, which I just put right on my grill until they're dark and the skin just peels right off, and yeah, they're delicious.
I am especially crazy about your Jimmy Nardellos, and I want you to tell everybody why, if they haven't gotten any Jimmy Nardellos this year, they need to get them next year.
The Jimmy Nardello is an amazing pepper. It's an old Italian heirloom, very prolific plant, and I would have to say the sweetest pepper I've ever had.
Besides these peppers, what other vegetables are you featuring this fall, and what do you have coming on that's not here yet?
This year we really focused on this particular squash called the Ciampaccino, which is an Italian heirloom. It's great as a summer zucchini style, and then we cure them when they're big, and they kind of end up turning into like a great winter squash. So they are a storage squash, and then the young ones are very nutty. Dice them, chop them, fry them, just like a zucchini. We really focus on the old seeds that are kind of lost in the new hybrid stuff, so yeah.
Now I'm standing at Dalinote with Kellen Lynch, who I've actually interviewed on the show before. Kellen, what is your special sandwich today?
Today is the roast beast. We start with Applegate roast beef, then we make a horseradish mayo. Along with that, we have house-made pickles, red onion, and market greens. This is all on a croissant as well.
I'm going to take one, and unfortunately, when you hear this on the radio, it won't be this special anymore.
I'm standing with Pauline Morgan at Morganics, otherwise known as the jam lady of the market. Pauline, are you making any jams this time of year?
You know, mainly through the summer. You know, my last jams that I make are like plum jam, which is the last fruit. But through the winter, I still make my marmalades and my preserves. I'm sort of busy all through the year.
Did you have any jam on your toast this morning?
I got to the market very early this morning, so I have my toast later on when I get home.
And what kind of jam are you going to put on it today?
I think I might put peach jam. Yes, peach jam today. Yes, nice autumn jam.
I'm with Darby Huffman, the brains and the brawn behind Daily Bird Pottery. And you guys are here every week at the market. What do you make that is like the thing that thrills all the foodies who come by?
Probably our most popular and least known item is our crocs. They are good for pickling, and they are good for making sauerkraut and kimchi. And they are very, very, very popular, even though people hardly know we make them. The sauerkraut that I recently made in it was really sweet. It's much sweeter than just your regular sauerkraut in a glass jar. So it's really delicious.
Come and get your croc. This is Thais, and she is standing here behind the tasting table for Eaglemont at the market. And Thais, what are you tasting today?
Today I'm sampling our Homestead Dry Cider, Raspberry Ginger Cider, the Bubral Cider, which has hops added in for flavor, and the Rhubarb Cider. For wine, I have Apple Brandy Dessert Wine.
Well, let's see. I would like to taste the Homestead Cider and the Raspberry Ginger Cider. Which one should I taste first?
Let's start with the dry. Homestead Dry Cider.
It's very effervescent, isn't it? And very dry. Yum. Okay, raspberry ginger. So it sort of sounds like a combination of summer and fall.
Yeah, the ginger will warm you right up.
Oh, the ginger comes through in the nose, right? That's the first thing I smell. And the first thing I taste in the cider is the raspberry, and then with this nice lingering ginger behind it.
Yes.
Yum. Can I taste the apple dessert wine too?
Yes.
Why don't you tell me what this really is that I'm tasting?
This is our dessert wine. It's made with heirloom apples of the russet variety.
Oh, yum. It's so smooth. And it's not hugely sweet.
No, no, it has a high sugar content, but the flavor doesn't come through as sugary sweet.
Thank you. Here's to you.
Cheers.
So that's it today from the Uptown Saturday Port Townsend Farmers Market. If you've never been here, it's not too late. This market goes all the way up until Christmas. And if you can't make it this year, it starts again in the spring.
They will guide my way tonight, and I will see you in my dreams.
Thank you.
One, two.
I'm Mara Lathrop, and you're listening to Glorious Food on KPTZ 91.9 in Port Townsend, Washington.
I've been admiring you for some time, always swaying in the breeze as I'd walk by. I thought you were nettles the first time I saw you, and I'm just so hella West Coast. I never had a chance to get this close to you, or the sugars that hopped on me when I went out to pick your leaves. 'Cause word is you got powers way beyond the beauty of your late summer flowers. And song you whispered in my ear for the groundhog, the goose, and the fox, and the deer.
Today we are visiting Mountain Spirit Herbs out on Discovery outside of Port Townsend, and we are with Denise Joy, proprietess, and we're in your yurt. We're here because you're going to teach me how to blend some herbal tea that's going to taste really good and be a good tea to drink all winter long.
We're going to make the tea that my children named called Tasty Tea. It's really high in vitamin C, and it's good both warm and cold.
Right in front of us is your big wall of cubbies with half-gallon size jars filled with all kinds of different herbs. Everything from ginkgo and garlic powder over here to pepper and peppermint down over here. Black haw, something I've never heard of before. Catnip and chamomile, which I have heard of. What are we going to put in Tasty Tea?
Tasty Tea will have chamomile, lemon verbena, hibiscus, and then peppermint. So all of these herbs but hibiscus can be local to Port Townsend. We're just going to make a very small amount, and we're going to use a scoop.
Okay.
Two scoops of chamomile.
Is that
good?
Okay, one.
Also two scoops of lemon verbena.
All right.
One and a half scoops of hibiscus flowers.
How's that?
Perfect.
All right.
And then a half scoop of peppermint.
So what you're saying is a little peppermint goes a long way.
Yes. Perfect.
Okay.
So then this
smells really good.
Yes. So then you're going to take that and mix them all together.
All right. So I know that you already said that the hibiscus brings a lot of vitamin C into this tea. And what does the chamomile bring?
Chamomile is relaxing. It just makes you feel good and want to kick back and put your heels up. The lemon verbena is mostly for taste. It's a happy taste. So when we have such dark winters, having a happy taste is nice.
So it's a nice thing to drink with friends.
It's a nice thing to drink with friends. It's really delicious for your children.
Yeah.
This tea is really good hot, but it's also good cold with a little bit of apple juice. So I would make a big pot, and then I would take that pot and strain the herbs out.
Yeah.
And then I'd add a little bit of honey and a little apple juice in my kids' thermoses. I would put cold tea for them in the morning. That would be their juice.
Their juice, yeah.
And it was high in vitamin C. It was delicious, and they loved it.
And they were willing to drink it.
And they wanted more when they came home. It wasn't one of the things I heard they ever traded off at school.
This has happened to every mother who has ever sent a child to school, no matter how delicious the food was and how dedicated she was to her children. They traded all kinds of stuff away.
Right. But I heard they never traded their tasty tea.
Okay, well, there you go.
So
the other thing about it that's really nice is it's very beautiful.
The herbs are easily available either through Mountain Spirit or through the food co-op. It's only four ingredients. That makes it simple.
Are we going to make some of this now?
We could make some of this now. How dry bulk herbs work is, in the large quantity, 1 pound of Tasty Tea makes equivalent to 4 gallons of tea. And then if you're going to add apple juice, that would be equivalent to 5 gallons, because then you would add 1 gallon of apple juice.
Yeah.
And probably in that quantity, I usually add a pint of honey.
So reducing it down to a cup is
about
a heaping tablespoon, a blob of honey at the end.
Yes.
And a splash of apple juice.
Yes, if you were just going to do a cup.
Yeah.
But this tea is also, as you'll taste in a second, it's also really nice warm without the honey.
Without anything. Right.
So to make a pot, that was 3/8, and that will make a very nice pot.
Or if you were using a quarter of a cup, you'd just do a heaping quarter of a cup, right?
Yes, okay. Exactly. So as soon as the water boils, which should be quick enough.
All right.
In the meantime, I also made some everybody's cold tea, which is a different tea. So the cold tea is a mixture of comfrey leaf, which is local around here, linden flowers, which grow in the trees over by the high school. They may grow other places. Rose hips, which grow all
everywhere.
Over Fort Worden.
Yeah.
Lemon balm, which is a weed in Port Townsend. Elderflowers are from Eastern Washington. Peppermint again. White pine, I get white pine from the Midwest, but it also grows in Eastern Washington. And anise.
And what part of the white pine is? Is it the needles or the bark? Or?
The bark. Okay. It is white pine bark. With this tea, it's good for colds, and the white pine especially is extremely high in vitamin C.
So this, everybody's cold tea is like a super blast of vitamin C, is that?
Yes, okay. It's a super blast of vitamin C and other minerals. And when my kids were little and back in the day when the boiler room was buying herbs for me, this was the boiler room's favorite tea.
The tea smells a little bit fruity and a little bit minty. And then something I can't really identify that just smells nice. I don't usually sip that loud. I only did it for the benefit of all the people listening today. Let me do that again. This is really nice. And it doesn't really need any honey in it, I don't think. It has a nice round herbal tea flavor, but it tastes blended. It's not like anything really stands, one thing stands out more than another. So now we're pouring some water into the mug over the strainer full of tea, and now we're filling up the teapot.
And can you smell that?
Yes, I can, actually.
That's the hibiscus you're smelling.
And how long are we going to steep this?
This can steep for 5 minutes,
yeah,
3 minutes, or 20 minutes. So it depends on how strong you want it. See that color? Isn't that just beautiful?
You can see that it's a deep rosy pink color. Very pretty. So I'm clinking tea glasses with CJ Lazenby, my producer. And now we're going to taste the tea. Here's to you. Oh, that's tasty. That's really good. This is a really good base for getting something healthy down any child. This is very easy to, this is just easy. If somebody really wants to experiment, what are some of the rules of the road for how you go about blending tea to come up with something that tastes pretty good?
Use little. Don't try and overuse your herbs. Recognize the herbs you're working with. What are their flavors like? Notice how this tea has a very little bit of peppermint in it. If I put more peppermint in, that would be all you tasted.
If people want to get hold of you to get more information about any of the tea blends that you're doing or any of your herbal stuff, or if they want to buy herbs, bulk herbs from you so they can make their own winter tea, or if they just want to buy your already made tasty tea and enjoy it, where can they find it and what are the best ways to get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me is by calling my phone number, which is 360-385-4491. And I have people come out by appointment out to my farm. But locally, the best way to get a hold of me is come down to the farmer's market because I'm there every Saturday. And when it's cold, I like seeing your smiling faces.
Thanks for the tea lesson. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, good.
Here's to you.
Here's to you.
Glorious Food airs every month on KPTC 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, Washington. Thanks to CJ Lazenby, producer and sound engineer extraordinaire, and thanks to KPTC's station manager, Nora Petrich, and programming manager, Larry Stein. And remember, everybody's gotta eat.